From Montreal, Quebec, this is the Bard Brawl.
You recording right now?
Well, yeah, I'm just getting psyched up.
Right now?
Right, I'm getting psyched up right now.
You should be silent probably before you...
Welcome, Bard Brawlers, to the Bard Brawl. My name is Bard Rowe. Bard, it means the author, right? What does Bard mean?
Bard's a poet.
Bard is a poet.
Yeah, and so Shakespeare's the super poet.
That must be Eric's John correcting me on my mistakes. How are you this fine evening, Eric's John, wagging a finger at me?
I'm I'm in the mood to correct mistakes, Daniel. Be on guard.
Everybody needs one of those, and at a party.
Oh, yes.
Everyone needs ones at a party to sit and correct everyone's mistakes. No, actually, the score was 5-2, and it wasn't in home, it was away.
Spider-Man's web shooters were manufactured.
And Andre Simoneau is joining us once again.
Hi, great.
Our superstar of Coriolanus. Are you getting tired of Coriolanus? You have not read this play before. We talked about this.
Yeah.
How have you found, like, reading it cold and, like, just going through it and discovering it without knowing anything about it?
Thrilling and enlightening.
Is it tough to read cold?
Yeah. Cold reads are impossible, so because you always get it wrong. You try and find your way with punctuation and line breaks. And generally, if you kind of just keep with the iambic, you end up falling into something that kind of makes sense, but often not.
This is kind of why we do. We started the Bard Brawl was because we like to read it, and reading it cold is kind of fun, and we've introduced other people into it that just kind of come and read. And
you learn a lot by doing it that way, I think. You sort of are surprised, which is a nice thing for something that has been around for 400 years. You're like, oh, this was unexpected.
Yeah, and you haven't read it before either. David Wheaton joining us straight up. It's the off season now for ball hockey.
We are about to start a new season tomorrow.
Oh, we have to plug his band, right?
Oh yes. No. You don't have to plug Pigeon Fat or the website Pigeon Fat.
PHAT.
Yeah, PHAT. Thanks, Andre. No. Don't even mention Pigeon Fat. Don't bother.
All right, I won't mention Pigeon Fat.
There is a show actually on the 20th of September. Mm. When does this podcast come out?
It should come out before that. I guess we just have a deadline now.
Okay, yep. There may not be a link.
We may or may not put a link to Pigeon Fat.
Maybe.
Excellent. But how have you found reading? You have been reading Menenius, one of the key characters, and Tullus Aufidius, two great characters. Mm-hmm. How have you found it reading through it for the first time?
I agree with Andre. It's tough, but it's fun too. And you want to get it right, but I don't know. I have this false expectation that I'm gonna get all the meaning and draw everything out of the line, but it's impossible.
Well, both of you have made me weep more than once.
You can't hear it.
Emotion.
Of
you can't hear it. You can't.
It's edited out.
He looks pathetic.
Yeah, I edited it out because it's like a little kid crying in the mall.
Whenever Daniel does the really loud Second Citizen come in, that's just masking the emotion. Just the unbelievable
ton of tears.
Oh my god.
Jay Reed back for his third act in Coriolanus. I think that's a record. He went from bit character to Cominius, who had a few lines last act, and then this act, it's go time. You're on the second line. Power play.
This is awesome. I'm impressed with the amount of lines I'm getting this time.
Yeah. He's counting them. He has them all highlighted and numbered beside them.
It's a contract period. You know?
Yeah, it's
contract. About the ice time?
The weird thing is he's got a Kindle and he's highlighting them. Which you can do with the Kindle. I was at a party the other day with somebody who was convincing me that a Kindle is better than a book.
Sounds like
something you would say.
Yeah. Apparently Kobo's not that great. I've had a lot of complaints about them. No one gets...
Really?
Yeah,
Does anybody know anything
David
about
Rosen
Kobo?
David Rosen hates Kobos.
My girlfriend has one.
Does she like it?
Yeah, she loves it. I gave it to her as a gift.
Oh. Like, if she figure, I think it just takes figuring out, right? Like, just figure out how to use
my,
it.
My stepfather returned his within a week.
Oh, not his style?
Maybe he's not a... I can't say he's not someone who likes to figure things out, so...
Once again, our sole female is Miss Stephanie E.M. Coleman. You have lost our beloved Melissa Lena Taylor. She has went back to Vancouver. It's very sad. Yeah, she done gone. I believe that was Merchant of Venice. We already did that play. Anyway, we welcome you to Act 5, the last act of Coriolanus, the tragedy, the epic Roman warrior play, the third of three. If I'm not mistaken, this is the latest of the three. There's Antony and Cleopatra. There is Julius Caesar, and there's this one.
Yeah, Caesar's first, Antony and Cleopatra, and then not long afterwards, this one.
Yeah, gets lost a lot of the time. We have an article on bardbrawl.com about why T.S. Eliot thought this play was the best, along with Antony and Cleopatra. T.S. Eliot did not like Hamlet.
No, he thought it was a bad adaptation.
Yes.
Of a play no one reads.
Feel free to go to bardbrawl.com for sort of summaries and discussion of any of the previous acts of this play or The Merchant of Venice, which we recorded first. This act, Act 5, can I do the summary?
Yeah.
Coriolanus has been banished from Rome, much to his mother and friend Cominius's bemoaning. And Menenius, too. Well, both of them are sad about it, remember? And he, out of sheer spite, decides to join his mortal enemy, Tullus Aufidius, and attack Rome. Because if...
And Aufidius is totally on board.
And Aufidius gets right on board and decides to hand over the complete control and take second.
Yeah, he's like, here's half my army.
If you can beat him, join him?
And let them leave.
You can beat him, join them.
It's
split your army down the middle and give it to your enemy.
Basically, out of sole hatred for the tribunes and the people, because he's still sort of friends. Well, he's
no.
This is the thing about this.
He's writing everybody off.
Yeah,
he figures the nobles weren't strong enough to stand up to the peasants,
and he says to them,
"Oh,
you
common cry of curs." Well, no, because I'm going to eat into our episode time.
Oh, okay, sorry. Act 5. And Coriolanus has lit a torch of destruction.
That was a torch of destruction.
That was the destruction. We have sound effects now. That's our sound person. His name's Jason. Yeah. He doesn't say anything. Sitting in the corner. So between the two, Tullus Aufidius and Coriolanus, they have blazed a path all the way to Rome. Are they in Rome? They're at the gates?
They're basically, I guess, not quite besieging, but they're on their way.
And everybody inside Rome is panicking because great, our greatest general is now fighting with the other greatest general and they're going to destroy the city.
They took our Incredible Hulk.
Risk it. So, in this act, we have Menenius, played by Mr. David Wheaton, Cominius, played by Mr. J. Reed, Sicinius, played by myself, Sicinius and Brutus, played by Miss Stephanie E.M. Coleman. Sicinius and Brutus are tribunes of the people, the plebeians. Cominius is a former consul. Menenius is an old patrician.
I'll be others.
And, others are shown.
I'll do the stage directions.
And stage directions by air.
All right. Rome, a public place. Enter Menenius, Cominius, Sicinius, Brutus, and others.
No, I'll not go. You hear what he hath said, which was sometimes his general who loved him, in a most dear particular. He called me father. But what of that? Go you that banished him a mile before his tent, fall down and knee the way into his mercy. Nay, if he coyed to hear Cominius speak, I'll keep at home.
He would not seem to know me.
Do you hear?
Yet one time he did call me by my name. I urged our old acquaintance and the drops that we have bled together. Coriolanus, he would not answer to, forbades all names. He was a kind of nothing, titleless, till he had forged himself a name by the fire of burning Rome.
Why, so you have made good work, a pair of tribunes that have racked for Rome to make coals cheap, a noble memory.
I minded him how royal 'twas to pardon, when it was less expected. He replied, it was a bare petition of estate to whom they had punished.
Very well. Could he say less?
I offered to awaken his regard for private's friends. His answer to me was, he could not stay to pick them in a pile of noisome, musty chaff.
Ouch.
He said 'twas folly for one poor grain or two to leave unburnt and still to the nose the offense.
For one poor grain or two. I am one of those. His mother, wife, his child, and this brave fellow too. We are the grains. You are the musty chaff, and you are smelt above the moon. We must be burnt for you.
Nay, pray be patient. If you refuse your aid in this so never needed help, yet do not upbraids with our distress. But sure, if you would be your country's pleader, your good tongue, more than the instant army we can make might stop our countrymen.
No, I'll not meddle.
Pray you go to him.
What should I do?
Only make trial what your love can do for Rome towards Martius.
Well, and say that Martius returned me as Cominius has returned, unheard, what then? But as a discontented friend, grief-shot with his unkindness, say it be so?
Yet your goodwill must have that thanks from Rome after the measure, as you intended well.
I'll undertake it. I think he'll hear me, yet to bite his lip and hum at good Cominius much unhearts me. He was not taken well. He had not dined. The veins unfilled. Our blood is cold, and then we pout upon the morning, are unapt to give or to forgive. And when we have stuffed these pipes and these conveyances of our blood with wine and feeding, we have suppler souls than in our priest-like fasts. Therefore I'll watch him till he be dieted to my request, and then I'll set upon him.
You know the very road into his kindness, and cannot lose your way.
Good faith, I'll prove him, speed how it will. I shall ere long have knowledge of my success.
Exit.
We'll never hear him.
Not?
I tell you, he does sit in gold, his eye, red as 'twould burn Rome, and his injury the gouler to his pity. I kneeled before him. 'Twas very faintly he said, rise, dismiss me. Thus with his speechless hand, what he would do he sent in writing after me, what he would do not, bound with an oath to yield to his conditions, so that all hope is vain, unless his noble mother and his wife, who, as I hear, means to solicit him, for mercy to this country. Therefore let's hence, and with our fair entreaties haste them on.
Exit.
Oof. Someone isn't happy. Now we go to the Volscian camp, where we have Menenius, watch, guards, Coriolanus, Aphidius. Yeah. You were reading Aphidius and Menenius previously, so maybe we could get Miss Coleman to read Aphidius.
We'll pick up the senators, I guess.
Yeah, watch and senators, we can kind of juggle. Senator or watch?
It says first and second senator.
Oh, I have first and second watch.
Well, you know, senators do double duty, I guess, and they work harder.
Yes.
In Antium.
All right, entrance of the Volscian camp before Rome. Enter Menenius to the watch or guard.
You can be first.
Okay. Stay. Whence are you?
Stand and go back.
You guard like men, 'tis well. But by your leave, I am an officer of the state, and come to speak with Coriolanus.
From whence?
From Rome.
You may not pass. You must return. Our general will no more hear from thence.
You'll see your Rome embrace with fire before you'll speak with Coriolanus.
You know, someone thinks he's important.
Second watch. I'm second watch.
Good, my friends. If you have heard your general talk of Rome and of his friends there, it is lots to blanks my name hath touched your ears. It is Menenius.
Be it so. Go back. The virtue of your name is not here passable.
I tell thee, fellow, thy general is my lover. I have been the book of his good acts, whence men have read his fame unparalleled. Haply amplified, for I have ever verified my friends, of whom he's chief, with all the sighs that verity would without lapsing suffer. Nay, sometimes like to a bowl upon a subtle ground, I have tumbled past the throw, and in his praise have almost stamped the leasing. Therefore, fellow, I must have leave to pass.
Faith, sir, if you had told as many lies in your behalf as you have uttered words in your own, you should not pass here. No, though it were as virtuous to lie as to live chastely. Therefore, go back.
Worthy fellow, remember, my name is Meninius, always factionary on the party of your general.
Howsoever you have been his liar, as you say you have, I am one that, telling true under him, must say you cannot pass. Therefore, go back.
Has he dined? Canst thou tell? For I would not speak with him till after dinner.
You are a Roman, are you?
I am, as thy general is.
Then you should hate Rome as he does. Can you, when you have pushed out your gates the very defender of them, and in a violent popular ignorance given your enemy your shield, think to front his revenges with the easy groans of old women, the virginal palms of your daughters, or with the palsied intercessions of such a decayed dotant as you seem to be? Can you think to blow out the intended fire your city is ready to flame in with such weak breath as this? No, you are deceived. Therefore, back to Rome, and prepare for your execution. You are condemned. Our general has sworn you out of reprieve and pardon.
Sirrah, if thy captain knew I were here, he would use me with estimation.
Come, my captain knows you not.
I
am first watch.
No. I mean thy general.
My general cares not for you. Back, I say, go, lest I forth your half pint of blood. Back. That's the utmost of your having. Back.
Nay, but fellow.
Enter Coriolanus with Aufidius.
What's the matter?
Now, you companion, I'll say an errand for you. You shall know now that I am in estimation. You shall perceive that a Jack Gardant cannot office me from my son Coriolanus. Guess but by my entertainment with him if thou standst not in the state of hanging or of some death more long in spectatorship and crueler in suffering. Behold now presently and swoon for what's to come upon thee.
The Coriolanus.
The glorious gods sit in hourly synod about thy particular prosperity and love thee no worse than thy old father Meninius does. Oh, my son, thou art preparing fire for us. Look thee, here's water to quench it. I was hardly moved to come to thee, but being assured none but myself could move thee, I have been blown out of your gates and sighs, and conjure thee to pardon Rome and thy petitionary countrymen. The good gods assuage thy grief, thy wrath, and turn the dregs of it upon this varlet here, this who like a block hath denied my access to thee.
Away.
How? Away?
Wife, mother, child, I know not. My affairs are servanted to others. Though I owe my revenge properly, my remission lies in Volscian breasts. That we have been familiar in great forgetfulness shall poison, rather than pity note how much. Therefore, be gone. Mine ears against your suits are stronger than your gates against my force. Yet, for I love thee, take this along. I read it for thy sake.
Gives the letter.
And would have rent it. Another word, Menenius, I will not hear thee speak. This man, Aufidius, was my beloved in Rome. Yet thou beholdst.
You keep a constant temper.
Exeunt, Menet, the guard, and Menenius.
Now, sir, is your name Menenius?
'Tis a spell, you see, of much power. You know the way home again?
Do you hear how we are shent for keeping your greatness back?
What cause do you think I have to swoon?
I neither care for the world nor for your general. For such things as you, I can scarce think there's any. You're so slight. He that hath a will to die by himself fears it not from another. Let your general do his worst. For you, be that you are long, and your misery increase with your age. I say to you, as I was said to, away.
Exit.
Noble fellow, I warned him.
A worthy fellow is our general. He's the rock, the oak, not to be wind-shaken. Exit watch.
I think Orson. I missed this line the first time I read it, because the Menenius is last line? Because I didn't really understand when I saw the movie why it ends for him the way that it ends. I don't know, I don't want to spoil it for anyone.
Well, that hasn't seen the movie. In the movie, they have him kill himself.
Yeah.
In your list of saddest suicides in the Roman plays, you've got a good list to choose from. You got Brutus, Cassius, Anthony's botched almost suicide, Cleopatra.
No, Anthony's is pathetic. But Brutus Ananias. Is pathetic because he has like, oh, stab me again.
No, that's Cassius has someone else stab him. Brutus falls on his own sword because he's the stoic.
He's more badass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Menenius is the saddest for me. He's sad in this play. He wants everybody to be noble and...
Yeah, but I think Brutus is more tragic.
So. Brutus is pretty tragic. He was Caesar's friend and then he killed him and then felt bad and killed himself. That's it, right?
That's it, more or less.
All right, so Menenius is gone. Well read, David Wheaton.
Been fun.
Yeah, now you're a Phidias still, so you're doing all right. Act 5, Scene 3, The Tent of Coriolanus. We have Coriolanus, Aphidius, Virgilia, Volumnia, Valeria, Martius, attendants.
This is the monster act.
I was Valeria in like Act 1, I think. She has probably one line, so I guess I'll pull that one out because I think I can haul it.
This is a good chance.
Virgilia.
Volumnia, that's me.
You're Volumnia, right? You were Volumnia last She's time.
Very busy in this.
Virgilia, we can give to Stephanie. Why not a girl read a girl's part for once?
That doesn't happen that often.
Groundbreaking. And you can be Titus Martius. Nice. Jay Reed, I don't know if he says anything, but...
As a kid? He's got one or two lines.
Oh, it's not Titus Martius, it's no, Martius.
It's Martius's kid.
Oh, who's yes.
With the ladies.
Right. Titus Martius, right?
Lartius? I don't think he comes
Titus
back.
Titus Lartius, he's gone.
Boy.
Boy, yeah. You're boy.
So sorry.
Little boy voice. Sorry.
Back on the fourth line.
Back on the fourth for this. Enter Coriolanus and Aphidius with others.
We will before the walls of Rome tomorrow set down our host. My partner in this action, you must report to the Volscian lords how plainly I have borne this business.
Only their ends you have respected. Stopped your ears against the general suit of Rome, never admitted a private whisper, no, not with such friends that thought them sure of you.
This last old man, whom with a cracked heart I have sent to Rome, loved me above the measure of a father. Nay, godded me, indeed. Their latest refuge was to send him. For whose old love I have, though I showed sourly to him, once more offered the first conditions, which they did refuse and cannot now accept. To grace him only that thought he could do more, a very little I have yielded to. Fresh embassies and suits, nor from the state nor private friends, hereafter will I lend ear to. Ah! What shout is this? Shall I be tempted to infringe my vow in the same time 'tis made? I will not.
Enter in mourning habits Virgilia, Volumnia, Valeria, young Martius, with attendants.
My wife comes foremost. Then the honored mould wherein this trunk was framed, and in her hand the grandchild to her blood. But out, affection! All bond and privilege of nature break! Let it be virtuous to be obstinate! What is that curtsy worth, or those dove's eyes, which can make gods forsworn? I melt, and am not of stronger earth than others. My mother bows, as if Olympus to a molehill should in supplication nod. And my young boy hath an aspect of intercession, which great nature cries, deny not. Let the Volsces plough Rome and harrow Italy. I'll never be such a gosling to obey instinct, but stand as if a man were author to himself and knew no other kin.
My lord and husband.
These eyes are not the same I wore in Rome.
The sorrow that delivers us thus changed makes you think so.
Like a dull actor now, I have forgot my part, and I am out. Even to a full disgrace. Best of my flesh, forgive my tyranny. But do not say for that, forgive our Romans. Oh, a kiss long as my exile, sweet as my revenge. Now, by the jealous queen of heaven, that kiss I carried from thee, dear, and my true lip hath virgined it e'er since. You gods, I prate, and the most noble mother of the world leave unsaluted. Sink my knee in the earth.
Kneels.
Of thy deep duty more impression show than that of common sons.
Oh, stand up, blessed. Whilst with no softer cushion than the flint I kneel before thee, and unproperly show duty, as mistaken all this while between the child and the parent.
Kneels.
What is this? Your knees to me? To your corrected son?
Raises her.
Then let the pebbles on the hungry beach fill up the stars. Then let the mutinous winds strike the proud cedars against the fiery sun, murdering impossibility to make what cannot be slight work.
Thou art my warrior. I helped to frame thee. Do you know this lady?
The noble sister of Pulicola, the moon of Rome, chaste as the icicle that's curdled by the frost from purest snow and hangs on Dian's temple. Dear Valeria.
This is a poor epitome of yours, which by the interpretation of full time may show like all yourself.
The god of soldiers, with the consent of supreme love, Jove, inform thy thoughts with nobleness, that thou mayst prove to shame invulnerable and stick at the wars like a great sea mark, standing every flaw and saving those that eye thee.
Your knee, sirrah.
That's my brave boy.
Even he, your wife, this lady, and myself are suitors to you.
I beseech you, peace. Or if you'd ask, remember this before. The thing I have forsworn to grant may never be held by you denials. Do not bid me dismiss my soldiers or capitulate again with Rome's mechanics. Tell me not wherein I seem unnatural. I desire not to ally my rages and revenges with your colder reasons.
Oh, no more, no more. You have said you will not grant us anything. We have nothing else to ask but that which you deny already. Yet we will ask. That if you fail in our request, the blame may hang upon your hardness. Therefore hear us.
Aufidius, and you Volsces, mark, for we'll hear not from Rome in private.
Sits.
Your request?
Should we be silent and not speak, our raiment and state of bodies would bewray that life which have led since thy exile. Think with thyself how more unfortunate than all living women are we come hither. Since that thy sight, which should make our eyes flow with joy, hearts dance with comforts, constrains them weep and shake with fear and sorrow, making the mother, wife, and child to see the son, the husband, and the father tearing his country's bowels out. And to poor we, thine enmity's most capital, thou barrest us our prayers to the gods, which is a comfort that all but we enjoy. For how can we, alas, how can we for our country pray, whereto we are bound, together with thy victory, whereto we are bound. Alack, we must lose the country, our dear nurse, or else thy person, our comfort in the country. We must find an evident calamity, though we had our wish, which side should win. For either thou must, as a foreign recreant, be led with manacles throughout our streets, or else triumphantly tread on thy country's ruin and bear the palm for having bravely shed thy wife and children's blood. For myself, son, I purpose not to wait on fortune till these wars determine. If I cannot persuade thee rather to show a noble grace to both parts, than seek the end of one, thou shalt no sooner march to assault thy country than to tread, trust to it, thou shalt not, on thy mother's womb that brought thee to this world.
I and mine that brought you forth this boy to keep your name and living to time.
He shall not tread on me. I'll run till I'm bigger, and then I'll fight.
Adorable.
If it wasn't so, yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Not of a woman's tenderness to be, requires nor child nor woman's face to see. I have sat too long.
Rises.
Nay, go not from us thus. If it were so that our request did tend to save the Romans, thereby to destroy the Volsces who you serve, you might condemn us as poisonous to your honor. No, our suit is that you reconcile them. While the Volsces may say, this mercy we have showed, the Romans, this we received, and each and either side give thee all hail to thee and cry, be blessed for making us this peace. Thou knowest, great son, the end of war's uncertain, but this is certain, that if thou conquer Rome, the benefit which thou shalt thereby reap is such a name whose repetition will be dogged with curses, whose chronicle thus writ, the man was noble, but with his last attempt he wiped it out, destroyed his country, and his name remains to the ensuing age abhorred. Speak to me, son, thou hast affected the fine strains of honor to imitate the graces of the gods, to tear with thunder the wide cheeks of the air, and yet to charge thy sulphur with a bolt that should but rive an oak. Why dost thou not speak? Thinkest thou it honorable for a noble man to still remember wrongs? Daughter, speak you. He cares not for your weeping. Speak thou, boy. Perhaps thy childness will move him more than can our reasons. There's no man in the world more bound to his mother, yet he lets me prate like one of the stocks. Thou hast never in thy life showed thy dear mother any courtesy, when she, poor hen, fond of no second brood, was clucked thee to the wars and safely home, loaded with honor. Say my requests unjust, and spurn me back. But if it be not so, thou art not honest, and the gods will plague thee, that thou restrained from me the duty which to a mother's part belongs. He turns away. Down, ladies, let us shame him with our knees. To his surname Coriolanus longs more pride than pity to our prayers. Down, an end, this is the last, so we will home to Rome, and die among our neighbors. Nay, behold, this boy that cannot tell what he would have, but kneels and holds up hands for fellowship, does reason our petition with more strength than thou hast to deny it. Come, let us go. This fellow has a Volscian to his mother. His wife is in Corioli, and his child like him by chance. Yet give us our dispatch. I am hushed until our city be afire. Then I'll speak a little.
Coriolanus holds her by the hand, silent.
Oh, mother, mother, what have you done? Behold, the heavens do ope. The gods look down, and this unnatural scene they laugh at. Oh, my mother, mother, oh, you have won a happy victory to Rome. But for your son, believe it, oh, believe it, most dangerously you have with him prevailed, if not most mortal to him. But let it come. Aufidius, though I cannot make true wars, I'll frame convenient peace. Now, good Aufidius, were you in my stead, would you have heard a mother less? Or granted less, Aufidius?
I was moved withal.
I dare be sworn you were. And, sir, it is no little thing to make mine eyes to sweat compassion. But, good sir, what peace you'll make, advise me. For my part, I'll not to Rome. I'll back with you. And pray you stand to me in this cause. Oh, mother, wife.
Aside.
I am glad thou hast set thy mercy and thy honor at difference in thee. Out of that, I'll work myself a former fortune.
To Volumnia, Virgilia, etc.
Aye, by and by. But we will drink together, and you shall bear a better witness back than words, which we, on like conditions, will have countersealed. Come, enter with us. Ladies, you deserve to have a temple built you. All the swords in Italy and her confederate arms could not have made this peace.
Excellent. I think next time I start crying, I'm going to say crying at inappropriate times, like on the plane when I cry all the time whenever I watch movies, including a couple that are Ben Affleck movies that I won't mention. I'm just going to say, mine eyes do sweat compassion.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I'm not crying. Mine eyes are sweating compassion. I don't really care.
I don't expect you to understand.
Ooh, that is a meaty scene.
Yeah.
His loyalty, his love is to nobility and to honor.
Well, she plays on his name.
And she plays on it.
The how history will remember him, basically. Yeah,
how history remembers your name, because he's...
Yeah, that was a pretty meaty... Yeah,
he is just, like, tossed aside his name to the point where, like, Tullus Aufidius in the previous act has to ask him 3 or 4 times for his name before he gives it. Like, it means nothing. But then all of a sudden, his name means everything.
And Vanessa Redgrave in the movie just is unbelievable in this scene. She's so intense.
Yeah.
She's intense. She's amazing throughout. But this, it's like she just drops to her knees and takes the grandson with her. And, like,
she's great. She's much better than Callista Flockhart in Midsummer Night's Dream.
Stanley Tucci.
Why did I just bring up that play? Anyway, we are moving on. Act 5, Scene 4. This always sort of happens in Shakespeare, where you have this one scene where it's like, that's the amazing end. And then you got a couple more to get through. So We'll just see how they play out and see if we can dig anything out of them. Act 5, Scene 4, Rome, a public place. We have Menenius.
He's still alive.
I'm alive!
Yeah. Oh, yourself. Was this not in the movie?
I don't think this is in the movie.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure totally after he talked with
Shakespeare. They fucked with Shakespeare.
They killed the character.
Every time. Well, I don't... Yeah, because this wasn't in the movie. I didn't even remember this. It's such a great line to end on, too, and then he comes back.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
All right, Enter Menenius and Sicinius. That is me.
See you yond, coin of the capital, yond, cornerstone.
Why, what of that?
If it be possible for you to displace it with your little finger, there is some hope the ladies of Rome, especially his mother, may prevail with him. But I say that there is no hope in it. Our throats are sentenced and stay upon execution. I should be less cheery. Sorry. I'm just happy to be alive.
Is it possible that so short a time can alter the condition of a man?
There is difference between a grub and a butterfly, yet your butterfly was a grub. This Martius has grown from man to dragon. He has wings. He's more than a creeping thing.
He loved his mother dearly.
So did he me. And he no more remembers his mother now than an 8-year-old horse. The tartness of his face sours ripe grapes. When he walks, he moves like an engine, and the ground shrinks before his treading. He is able to pierce a corslet with his eye, talks like a knell, and his hum is a battery. He sits in his state as a thing made for Alexander. What he bids be done is finished with his bidding. He wants nothing of a god but eternity and a heaven to throne in.
Yes, mercy if you report him truly.
I paint him in the character. Mark what mercy his mother shall bring from him. There is no more mercy in him than there is milk in a male tiger that shall our poor city find. And all is this is long of you.
The gods be good unto us.
No, in such a case the gods will not be good unto us. When we banished him, we respected not them, and he returning to break our necks, they respect not us.
Enter a messenger.
Sir, if you've saved your life, fly to your house. The plebeians have got your fellow tribune and hail him up and down, all swearing. If the Roman ladies bring not comfort home, they'll give him death by inches.
Enter a second messenger.
What's the news?
Good news, good news. The ladies have prevailed. The Volscians are dislodged and Martius gone. A merrier day did never yet greet Rome. No, not the expulsion of the Tarquins.
Friend, art thou certain this is true? Is it most certain?
As certain as I know the sun is fire. Where have you lurked that you may doubt of it? Nearer through an arch so hurried the blown tide as the recomforted through the gates. Why hark you?
Whole boys.
The trumpets, sackbutts, psalteries.
Can I stop you right there? A sackbutt is a trombone. I played the trombone in my high school band. And that was
and
the
everyone called sack butt.
No, but I learned that a sack butt was a trombone. Continue, Jay.
The trumpets, sack butts, psalteries, and fifes, tabors and cymbals, and the shouting Romans make the sun dance. Hark you.
This is good news. I will go meet the ladies. This Volumnia is worth consuls, senators, patricians, a city full. Of tribunes such as you, a sea and land full. You have prayed well today. This morning for 10,000 of your throats, I'd not have given a doit. Hark, how they join.
Music still.
First, the gods bless you for your tidings. Next, accept my thankfulness.
Sir, we have all great cause to give great thanks.
They are near the city?
Almost at point to enter.
We'll meet them and help the joy.
Exit.
That's probably why they cut the scene.
Yeah.
Really. I just totally forgot that he came back, and I thought in the movie.
What happened, basically. He was just saying, we're doomed. The messenger comes and says, what happened in the previous scene?
Yeah.
Hey, they just did that. You know that scene you just saw? That
this
just
was
happened.
Happening. Shakespeare on the sidelines like, this was happening at the same time.
These guys don't know you.
Not to justify my ignorance, but I think maybe I forgot about that scene because I liked the way they ended it with a little bit more. Like, because Menenius now seems just like some doofus cheerleader that...
That's just me, the way I'm reading it.
Not you. Act 5, Scene 5, Rome. A street near the city gate. This is a very short one.
Yeah.
Enter two senators with ladies, Volumnia, Regilia, Valeria, passing over the stage with other lords. Second Roman senator, David.
Behold, our patroness, the life of Rome. Call all your tribes together, praise the gods, and make triumphant fires. Strew flowers before them, unshout the noise that banished Martius. Repeal him with the welcome of his mother. Cry, welcome, ladies, welcome.
Welcome, ladies, welcome.
Drums exit. Yikes. This is really killing my buzz from Act 5, Scene 4.
Well, this last scene made...
May
I don't know.
Back
in Antium.
Back in Antium. We're back. We're in the real play again. We've those two plays that the act did because the producer
never existed.
The producer forced them in. Make sure you get a scene in there. Make some trumpets.
My nephew wanted to read a part. It was probably just to sum everything up for people who weren't listening, you know,
at the time.
Yeah.
And never happened.
For weren't watching.
We're back in Antium. Enter Tullus Aufidius with attendants.
Go tell the lords of the city I am here. Deliver them this paper, having read it, bid them repair to the marketplace, where I, even in theirs and in the common ears, will vouch the truth of it. Him I accuse, the city ports by this hath entered, and intends to appear before the people, hoping to purge himself of the words. Dispatch.
Exit attendants. Enter 3 or 4 conspirators of Aufidius's faction.
How is it with our general?
No, most welcome.
Oh, okay. Most welcome.
How is it with our general?
Even so as with a man by his own arms and poisoned with his charity slain.
Most noble sir, if you do hold the same intent wherein you wished us parties, we'll deliver you of your great danger.
Sir, I cannot tell. We must proceed as we do find the people.
The people will remain uncertain whilst twixt you two there's difference. But the fall of either makes the survivor heir of all.
I know it. And my pretext to strike at him admits a good construction. I raised him, and I pawned him mine honor for his truth. Who being so heightened, he watered his new plants with dews of flattery. Seducing so my friends, and to this end, he bowed his nature, never known before but to be rough, unswayable, and free.
Sir, his stoutness when he did stand for consul, which he lost by lack of support, of stooping.
That I would have spoke of, being banished for it, he came unto my hearth, presented to my knife his throat. I took him, made him joint servant with me, gave him way in all his own desires. Nay, let him choose out of my files his projects to accomplish. My best and freshest men served his designments in my own person, hope to reap the fame which he did end all this. And took some pride to do myself this wrong, till at the last I seemed his follower, not partner, and he wagged me with his countenance as if I had been mercenary.
So he did, my lord. The army marveled at it, and in the last, when he had carried Rome and what we looked for, no less spoil than glory.
There was it, for which my sinew shall be stretched upon him at a few drops of woman's rheum. Which are as cheap as lies, he sold the blood and labor of our great action. Therefore shall he die, and I'll renew me in his fall. But hark.
Shouts of the people!
Your native town you entered like a post, and had no welcomes home. But he returns, splitting the air with noise.
And patient fools whose children he hath slain, their base throats tear with giving him glory.
Therefore, at your vantage, ere he express himself or move the people with what he would say, let him feel your sword, which we will second. When he lies along after your way, his tell pronounced shall bury his reasons with his body.
Say no more. Here come the lords.
Enter the Volscian lords.
You are welcome home.
I have not deserved it, but worthy lords, have you with heed perused what I have written to you?
We have.
And grieved to heart,
what faults he made before the last, I think, might have found easy finds, but there to end, where he was to begin and give away the benefit of our levies, answered us with our own charge, making a treaty where there was yielding. This admits no excuse.
He approaches, you shall hear him.
Enter Coriolanus marching with drums and colors. Commoners being with him. Commoners flags. Being with him, interesting.
Yeah, and he's very popular in Antium with the common people.
Yeah.
Hail, lords! I am returned your soldier, no more infected with my country's love than when I parted hence, but still subsisting under your great command. You are to know that prosperously I have attempted, and with bloody passage led your wars even to the gates of Rome. Our spoils we have brought home do more than counterpoise a full third part the charges of the action. We have made peace with no less honor to the Antiates than shame to the Romans. And we here deliver, subscribed by the consuls and patricians, together with the seal of the Senate, what we have compounded on.
Read it not, noble lords, but tell the traitor in the highest degree he hath abused your powers.
Traitor? How now?
Aye, traitor, Marcius.
Marcius?
Aye, Marcius, Caius Marcius. Dost thou think I'll grace thee with that robbery, thy stolen name Coriolanus in Corioles? Coriolis? You lords and the heads of the state, perfidiously, he hath betrayed your business and given up for certain drops of salt your city Rome, I say your city, to his wife and mother, breaking his oath and resolution like a twist of rotten silk, never admitting counsel of the war, but at his nurse's tears he whined and roared away your victory, that pages blushed at him, and men of heart looked wondering at others.
Hearest thou, Mars?
Name not the god, thou boy of tears.
Ha!
No more.
Measureless liar, thou hast made my heart too great for what contains it. Boy, O slave! Pardon me, lords, 'tis the first time that ever I was forced to scold. Your judgments, my grave lords, must give this cur the lie, and his own notion, who wears my stripes impressed upon him that must bear my beating to his grave, shall join to thrust the lie onto him.
Peace, both, and hear me speak.
Cut me to pieces, Volsces. Men and lads, stain all your edges on me. Boy, false hound, if you have writ your annals true, 'tis there that, like an eagle in a dove coat, I fluttered your Volscians and Corioli. Alone I did it, boy.
Why, noble lords, will you be put in mind of his blind fortune, which was your shame by his unholy braggart, for your own eyes and ears?
Let him die for it!
Tear him to pieces. Do it presently.
You
killed my friend, too.
Asshole.
Peace, ho, no rage, peace. The man is noble, and his fame folds in this orb of the earth. His last offenses to us shall have judicious hearing. Stand, Aphidius, the trouble, not the peace.
Oh, that I had him, with six Aphidiuses, or more, his tribe, to use my lawful sword.
Insolent villain.
Kill!
Draw
the conspirators and kills Martius, who falls. Aphidius stands on him. Hold!
My noble masters, hear me speak.
Oh, tell us.
Thou hast done a deed whereat valor will weep.
Tread not upon him. Masters, all be quiet. Put up your swords.
My lords, when you shall know, as in this rage provoked by him, you cannot. The great danger which this man's life did owe you, you'll rejoice that he is thus cut off. Please it your honors to call me to your senate. I'll deliver myself your loyal servant, or endure your heaviest censure.
Bear from hence his body, and mourn you for him. Let him be regarded as the most noble course that ever herald did follow to his urn.
His own impatience takes from Aphidius a great part of blame. Let's make the best of it.
My rage is gone, and I am struck with sorrow. Take him up, help. Three of the chiefest soldiers, I'll be one. Beat thou the drum, that it speak mournfully. Trail your steel pikes. Though in this city he hath widowed and unchilded many a one, which to this hour bewail the injury, yet he shall have a noble memory. Assist.
Exeunt, bearing the body of Martius, a dead march sounded. Dum, dum, dum. thus ends Coriolanus. You don't like that ending, do you?
It's not
as
the best.
Written.
It's not the best.
It's sort of, as you were saying before, it sort of falls flat after that huge emotional scene with the mother and the wife and the kid and.
Yeah,
it's not like, that I could
so there's
do.
There's a reversal there, and then there's another reversal, and it's just it looks makes Coriolanus just. Why does he come back? I think that's the thing is where he's moved by what she says and clearly gives up his siege of Rome.
Yeah.
Why does he try and go lie about it to the Volsces? Why does he try and go say like, yeah, I did everything right, you know, as if he's like scared of them now. He's just saying, oh, I did everything. We didn't get Rome, strictly speaking, but paid for what we did before that.
Or he trusts in this idea of nobility that, like, the nobles are still supporting him as if, like, nobles always got each other's backs. And then Aphidius has to kill him. But I almost would rather those Aphidius pieces in that last scene be at the end of scene 4, and then Aphidius stabs him. In front of everybody, and then he's taken off or whatever.
Well, you remember the way it was done in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even in front. The senators were basically, they looked like these sort of Nicaraguan freedom fighters. They were just a bunch of guys in, like, combat fatigues, and
they exchange
insults, and then they jump them. Like, it's...
It's funny, like, how they did that. Like, they modernized it, yes, and some people don't like that, but they took those two scenes out, the two... In between scene that just
back in Rome going
have no
like,
point
hey,
really, and then they just ended it, and there's no lines after they start stabbing him. It just goes silent.
Well, it's sort of very sudden too, right? It's, I guess if you were staging it, the they kill him could be drawn out a bit, but it just seems so like he's alive and then he's dead, kind of like in Julius Caesar.
If he came back after selling you out in front of his. Wife and mother, I would probably stab him if I were Tullus Aphidius. I'm on Tullus Aphidius' side here. Mm. It is kind of a climax. It's so disappointing because it's so good. And then just that one last thing that
also,
you just...
You also kind of wonder why he doesn't sort of just go back to Rome.
Yeah,
like, I know he's got this idea that he's got to stay. He gave his word
loyal.
To the Volsces that he would honor, like, take their part. But once he makes the peace, it seems like all bets are off.
But
like,
he doesn't have a problem turning his back on anybody else in the play throughout the whole
play. Yeah, basically, that's the thing. He came to the Volsces in the first place, not so much to pledge nobility to them, pledge allegiance, more just like, I'll do whatever you tell me to do to go fuck with those assholes. And then Aphidius is like, take it all. You can do whatever you want. You're awesome. And he's like, I do that. It's like, no,
I wish I hadn't invited him to my party.
It's kind of a bad idea. He kind of just reconsiders and he goes back. And instead of saying, guys, that was a bad idea, he kind of says, well, I'm better than you guys anyway. And then they kill him.
But he has been like that throughout the consistency of him just always thinking he's better than everybody.
Yeah, it seems like he's just like,
But it's also the second time in the play he's accused of being a traitor.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the common people of Rome, the tribunes accuse him of being a traitor, so he says, well, screw this, I'm out. And then Aphidius is like, oh yeah, you're a traitor. That's why we're going to kill you.
He kind of is a traitor.
Yes,
to
in
Aphidius.
This case, he's a little bit more of a traitor than the first time.
So this time, this just ended on a down note. Now I'm all sad. Stupid Shakespeare, or whoever the guy was that wrote all the plays. Did you see Anonymous?
This was Shakespeare number 4.
No, it's Anonymous.
It's a movie about the actual writer of all the Shakespeare plays. Directed by the guy who directed...
Independence Day.
Oh, jeez.
In 2012.
In 2012. Decided to dip his pen into doing Shakespeare.
Why Shakespeare didn't want to take credit in that movie?
It's not bad. It's kind of a fun movie to watch, but it's about this. He wants to push a certain political agenda, this aristocrat in the movie, and so he writes, he feels the way to push an agenda because Elizabeth is dying and for the succession and everything. The way for him to push that agenda is to write it in theaters where these plays will be sympathetic to the person he wants.
Yeah, because Shakespeare's plays are all about taking sides in the politics. They always everything is
crystal clear. Just political... like this play has proven to us that it's been confusing.
He's clearly on the side of who knows.
But even in that last scene, Phidias does have some pretty good lines. Yeah. Like, it's still punchy. It just, it's
a funny moment. It's a funny moment to end with the history, too, because the history of it is afterwards, after they kill Coriolanus, Phidias is all happy now that he's in charge again, but all of the people are sort of upset with him, because they're like, why did you kill Coriolanus? Like, he was the best warrior we had. And he's like, oh no, really, it's okay, and basically the Volsces get ripped apart by all their other enemies.
Which is kind of the same thing that happened to Rome when they kicked Coriolanus out. So it's
somehow they win.
Rome always wins.
Yeah, Rome and Volumnia win. Everybody else loses.
Well, until Nero. Then Rome doesn't win anymore. Uh-huh. Then it starts losing. Thank you for joining us. For all of you who didn't catch the first four acts, you can catch them all on iTunes or go to bardbrawl.com, where you can download any of our podcasts and listen to our discussions of them throughout. Speeches. And our next podcast will be just the speeches, so you will hear these lovely gentlemen and ladies again, but just their finest speeches. And you don't get to record them again. It's as they were written, or as they were spoken. So please tune in for that. That'll be next week. And until that time, for the brawlers here, thank you, Mr. Andre Simoneau.
Thanks.
He's going with the Raft Man tonight. How was the Raft Man?
Fine.
It's the manliest label.
For the second week in a row.
For the second week in a row.
Yes, Raft Man. You like the manly lumberjack one.
2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks, yeah.
You had that last week.
It's just like last time. I got one, I brought it over. During the week I got one.
I'm confused. Like
just last, me too.
You guys are really messing with me here. I feel like I'm watching Syriana again. Wait, what? Who's that? Why do I care? Mr. J. Reed, can we see your movie, by the way?
Yeah, you can see it. It's on Facebook right now. You can go to the Deviant Facebook page.
We will link a copy of the movie that Jay Reed wrote, and my cousin Hannah DeRosio was in.
No, she was in the other one. There's another one that they...
Hannah
was in the other one. There's two of them.
Sounds confusing. I'm just confused. We'll David Whedon, enjoy your off season.
Thank you very much.
And we'll look for you on every hockey pool that you're in. Which hockey pool do you favor?
Yahoo.
Yahoo.
Yeah.
All right. Stephanie E.M. Coleman, we'll see you in the galleries. And for Eric Sean.
Where will you see me?
I will see you right here.
Right here.
In the library with a big book. How's the thesis coming?
Let's end on
a lot of Kurosawa.
Let's end on that.
A lot of samurai.
You can't have Shakespeare without Kurosawa.
You can't have Shakespeare without samurai.
Shakespeare had Shakespeare without Kurosawa.
That's
deep.
You just blew my mind. Oh, man. I need to go lie down. Thank you, brawlers.
Sonnet 6. Then let not winter's ragged hand deface in thee thy summer air thou be distilled. Make sweet some vile treasure thou some place with beauty's treasure ere it be self-killed. That use is not usury. Which happy's thou that pay the willing loan? That's for thyself to breed another thee, or 10 times happier, be it 10 for 1. 10 times thyself were happier than thou art, if 10 of thine 10 times refigured thee. Then what could death do if thou shouldst depart, leaving thee living in prosperity? Be not self-willed, for thou art much too fair. Be death's conquest, and make worms thine heir.